At the city level, generally speaking, you have these three core requirements. You need to provide really good public safety. You need to provide really good public infrastructure. You need to provide clean water and a good sewer system. And whenever you think of a city that is failing, you are thinking of a city that is failing at one of those three things.
From the mayor's office in Newport Beach, California, this is the It's All Good Newport Beach podcast, where you hear one-of-a-kind interviews with extraordinary executive, entrepreneurs, and community leaders showcasing why it's all good. Our podcast illuminates the beauty and civility of our world-class coastal community, hosted by yours truly, Tom Dioro, a.k.a. The Podfather. Today, our guest, we're honored and I'm really thrilled to have him on, is Will O'Neill. Will is mayor of Newport Beach, California, and a Stanford educated attorney and small businessman who served the city for 8 years on the Newport Beach Finance Committee. Will is also a litigation partner with the Costa Mesa law firm Ross Walcott Tynert and Proud LLP. So with further ado, Will, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. This is great.
We'll have a good time with us. Do you have a quote or a mantra or a prayer that serves you personally or professionally?
Oh, sure. Interestingly enough, when I read books, I pull out quotes and I keep it in what I call my quote journal because I write so much content and I give so many speeches. I've now got hundreds of quotes, but in terms of something that I go by, it's going to be biblical foundation. So Micah 6:8, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. That's one where I speak to a lot of people about it, and a lot of people well outside of politics. That is a verse that speaks to them as well. And in politics in particular, especially at a leadership position like a mayor of a city, the humility factor matters a lot. Grounding yourself in something that is transcendent and outside of your own control is something that matters a lot.
I as well am very faith-based. How has that not just served you, but maybe comforted and even guided you in your decisions?
So many ways. There's a lot of reasons why. I'm going to move away from faith for just a second. I'll come right back to it. But it's the same reason why when you're trying to ground yourself in, you know, what does our nation stand for? You just go back to founding documents. You know, what did the Declaration of Independence say? And you talk about truths that are self-evident. You know, you talk about our founding document of the Constitution and the ways that it has been amended as we've gone forward, trying to form a more perfect union. Not perfect, but more perfect as we've gone along. There are a lot of ways where you can look back and say, okay, these were truths, these are truths, and these are things that we can ground ourselves in as we're trying to make decisions and in a framework. And then you go back to faith. Faith matters a lot. And for us, we go to church over at Mariners Church over in Irvine. And I've talked to a lot of people who ground themselves in various faiths, and they have found comfort, to your point. They've also found that they have the ability to look back and realize there's a Bible verse that says, there's nothing new under the sun. And so when you realize that, you realize really clearly that, as a pastor said once, you are unique, but your situation isn't. That means that a lot of people have gone through the trials and tribulations that you've gone through, maybe not exactly the same way, but a lot of them. And it gets you past them realizing, okay, there are a lot of people who have gotten through some really hard times. We have the ability to get through them as well. And it builds up resilience, which we needed a whole lot of in the last 4 or 5 years.
Builds up resilience. At what point, if you can recall, as early as you can recall, where you are now, you either envisioned it or you can understand why you're in the capacity you're in, but personally, professionally, and even as a father?
Oh, I don't think I've ever really realized it until I was in it.
Okay.
and the only reason I say that is because I never grew up thinking, boy, I really want to go into elected office. I can tell you, being a lawyer, for the most part, I never thought about going into elected office. I really did, though, always envision myself as a lawyer. And the reason for that is I'm actually a fourth generation attorney. My dad was a federal district court judge up in Fresno, where I grew up. My grandmother had gone to UC Berkeley when she was in 1940. She was only a handful of women. Amazing person. And I'm really glad she ended up in law school because she actually ended up sitting right next to my grandfather. That's how they met. And he actually never finished law school. She did. But she ended up having to finish it later because when the war broke out, World War II broke out, there weren't enough classes being offered to have her graduate. So she actually ended up raising family, 5 kids. When my grandfather passed early, she went back, got her from Berkeley, and helped actually write a lot of the California Family Law Code. And amazing woman. My daughter's middle name is actually named after my grandmother, so that she'll remember the women who came before her and gave her all the opportunities that she has. And then my great-grandfather was a lawyer over in Maui. And so when those fires were going through the downtown area, and it was a tragedy. But one of the things that people were trying to figure out is, did that big banyan tree right in the middle there, that kind of iconic tree? I've got pictures of my great-grandfather who practiced law in the downtown area standing in front of that tree. There's a lot going on. So that's what I pictured myself doing. Politics wasn't there, but I had a good friend of mine come to me and say, hey, look, you should go run for city council. And my initial response was, no, that sounds terrible. Why would anyone do that? And it did sound terrible. I never understood why anyone would do that. So the idea that I would actually envision myself eventually being mayor of Newport Beach, being raised in Fresno, California, that never crossed my mind.
That, for lack of a term, and I'm actually quite at Stanford has it as well, is caretaker of a legacy. You, in effect, are.
Mm. Yeah. You know, you're, when you're blessed, and I really am, by my family really pouring into me and being good examples, then it's, you know, you're right. It's a stewardship principle. I talked about my dad being a federal district court judge, and that's certainly a life of service. I mean, you can make a lot more money being an attorney than you can be a judge, but he stepped into that early in my life, and it's just an amazing person. My mom was also the president of a local chapter of the YWCA, and the YWCA takes care of battered women and children. And so my sister and I would actually, after school sometimes, go over to the shelter where my mom was the volunteer leader over there, and we would be doing our homework surrounded by women who were in just horrific conditions. And so it was a moment where you realize really early on how blessed you are to be born into a family that's stable. But also realizing that it's the Uncle Ben approach in Spider-Man.
That's right.
There's a lot of responsibility that comes along with the blessings in your life.
That family that is stable. Obviously, not every family is what we term stable. Is there a way that governance can at least help guide, facilitate, or inspire that level of stability that a family has?
Absolutely. And it's across the partisan lines on that one for sure. I remember, so you know, being mayor of Newport Beach, it's a fairly Republican town. And I think most people would know that. Obviously not entirely Republican, but you know, predominantly. It's important to recognize and go outside of an echo chamber of making sure that you're listening to people who you might not agree with on a whole lot of issues, but trying to find common cause. I remember actually President Obama spent a lot of his time talking about how important it is for fathers to be in the lives of their children. And he's right. We see statistic after statistic just how important it is to have the father present and being generous of spirit, being generous of his experience into the children's lives. There are just way too many single moms who are stretched thin in this country right now. And so in terms of where's good public policy, there is an enormous amount of public policy that affects this. And one of them, frankly, is just not creating more burdens for people who are already struggling. And so we need to make sure that we're not increasing cost of living purposefully. And we need to make sure that we're facilitating a really good environment. At the city level, generally speaking, you have these three core requirements. You need to provide really good public safety. You need to provide really good public infrastructure. You need to provide clean water and a good sewer system. And I'm leaving off some really important things. I love libraries. I love parks. I love a lot of things that are right up there, but they're not the core purpose. And whenever you think of a city that is failing, you are thinking of a city that is failing at one of those three things. So if you are in a situation where you know you have a lot of young kids growing up in your community, you need to make sure that you are providing a facilitating environment for families to come together, for community groups to come together. And it all starts with making sure that they feel safe in their community.
Now, are those three tenements something that are well-known, or they're yours?
Those are three that I've come to the conclusion in my 8 years on city council have really been the core essence of what a city does. When I talk to other city leaders, they tend to agree with me. And look, every city is different. We've got, I think we have over 400 cities in California alone. Here in Orange County, we have 34 cities. We have 3.2 million people that live in Orange County. It's bigger than 22 states in the United States. We're roughly on par in terms of population with the entire state of Nevada. And that's just Orange County. And I get to interact with a lot of city council members, a lot of mayors from all over Orange County. And we talk about the same things that are affecting Fullerton and Santa Ana as Costa Mesa and Newport Beach and Laguna Beach. We all have similar issues, but because of our geography or the age demographics of a city or anything like that, they're going to be unique. And so you just need to have the right feel for the character of your city. But ultimately, at its core, yeah, it comes back to those three things.
This is the It's All Good Newport Beach podcast. We're talking today with Will O'Neill, mayor of Newport Beach, California. For more information, you can find them at newportbeachca.gov. That's newportbeachca.gov. I'm going to go back to the good public policy is my perspective. Is it? I really like good governance, but then you say, well, what is good governance? And you've shared with us some workable, actionable, memorable points of it. What's your idea, I guess? I don't know.
First off, you have to operate from integrity and transparency. One of the biggest problems that we have is when people have lost faith in their institutions because they don't think that the people are operating appropriately. And look, there's plenty of that. There have been plenty of scandals in the city halls over the last 2 years in LA and San Francisco where you have people literally being indicted and sent to federal prison because of bribery scandals. That will undermine the faith in the legislative process immediately. And it should, because we have too much power in local government, especially state government, and especially federal government, for people to feel like they can't trust you. So you need to make sure that not only are you trying to work through integrity, but you're also being transparent. So what I mean by transparent obviously means what it means. But one of the main things is explain why you think what you think. There are plenty of people who disagree with me. And my dad, actually, when I first got onto city council, what he told me was, every time you make a decision, you're going to make a temporary friend and a permanent enemy. And so I've made a lot of decisions, but I feel like I haven't made that many permanent enemies because I'm usually pretty transparent in the way that I think of things. Like, I want to explain to someone, this is how I see the situation. These are the costs. These are the benefits. These are the trade-offs. And I ultimately come to the conclusion of this. And you might disagree with me, and there are plenty of people who do, because it'll affect them differently than it'll affect someone else. But when I'm trying to make a decision, oftentimes there are 85,000 people or so that live in Newport Beach. We've got about 8 to 10 million visitors. We have a lot of businesses here. We have a lot of interests that sometimes will collide with one another. And I need to make a decision that sometimes some people will disagree with. But I want them to know why I disagree with them. And you can at least respect the decision if you understand it, but you're going to feel like not only have you been, for lack of a better word, hosed by a decision made by a local body, but you're also going to feel like they didn't do you justice by just making a decision that maybe you feel was made behind closed doors or something like that. So that's really important. And then ultimately, good governance comes back to, look, for a long time in our country, you really had a big fight between liberals and conservatives, where the difference was the view of the scope of government, but you still wanted it to work at whatever level of government you wanted to exist. We now don't exist in that as much anymore. It feels almost like we actually have four parties instead of two, because you have far fringes on both the left and the right who care more about the input and, you know, how you feel about a problem and then the output. And that's really frightening. And that's when you start seeing, especially at the local level, real failures. And so I talked about public safety, for example. Here's a really good example. So in California, when you call 911, you expect someone to answer really quickly. Mm-hmm. And so the gold standard in California is that 90% of 911 calls should be answered within 15 seconds. And I can tell you right now, if you are calling 911 in an emergency, 15 seconds even feels like an eternity sometimes. But 90% of calls need to be answered within 15 seconds. Last year in 2023, 99.85% of 911 calls in Newport Beach were answered within 15 seconds. 99.85%. Wow. The gold standard is 90. Contrast that with the city of Oakland. City of Oakland last year had less than, on average, less than 50% of the phone calls were answered, 911 calls were answered within 15 seconds. And in August of 2023, 37% of 911 calls were answered within 15 seconds. You had less than a 4 in 10 chance of picking up the phone in an emergency and having someone answer within 15 seconds. That's frightening. And what that does is it not only makes the city a less safe place, and that is all policy. All of that is a policy decision by the city council on hiring decisions, on the amount of money they're spending on their police department. All of it is a policy decision. And it's not just Oakland. LA is bad. San Francisco is right in the 70s, I think, last year. So these are policy decisions being made by city councils. And when I say, when you feel like a city is failing, look to those three things, the public safety side, the public infrastructure side, and the water side. you are going to see them failing in one, maybe two, maybe three things. But we really pride ourselves on the good governance model here, where I want less government, but I want the government that exists to work properly. And that, in my mind, is good governance.
Well stated. Will, this is a personal question, but you've got a huge responsibility, obviously, as a father, husband, attorney, mayor. When you get out of bed, do you have a first thought in your mind? I say that because I actually do. I think I'm saying, how can I help empower, enrich, and prosper people's lives? Really, that's when I get out, I say that. So even if I'm half awake, I still say that. Whether or not it does it during the day, I don't know, but at least that's a mode. Do you have anything similar to that?
So you have to remember that on the city council, we employ 150 police officers and roughly equivalent, a little less than that number of firefighters. Who, and what that means is they're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So for me, when I wake up in the morning, first thing I'm doing is I'm checking my phone to make sure nothing bad happened overnight. And that actually is something that got ingrained into me when I was mayor during 2020, which was obviously a really hard year for a lot of people, but particularly difficult here in Newport Beach. And so I would check every morning the moment I woke up to see what happened overnight. What are we going to be dealing with today? And that has been something that I've just gotten used to. And look, I use the do not disturb function on my phone because that kind of got ingrained into me. And I know how to make sure that there are certain people like our police chief and our fire chief and our city manager will always be able to get through to me for sure. And I can tell you there have been times when they will call me at 3 or 4 a.m. and it comes through and I now know something bad has happened. And that is something that I think of every day when I wake up is how are we doing here in the city and have our first responders made it through the night without any issue.
Yeah. I'll be honest with our audience today and yourself is totally respect what you do. Mm-hmm. And I like the way you do it. Is there a way that cities that you mentioned can model a city that is successfully being governed? And are they able to take their ego out of it to say, hey, look, here's what we'd like. We like what it is that you're doing. How can we do that?
Yeah, there are plenty of opportunities to do that. It's just hard. And it's a lot easier to break down and do poorly than it is to maintain excellence. And to really put a really good point on this, it is, and I know I've mentioned a few cities. I never mentioned where they align on the ideological spectrum because, for example, if you are driving down Newport Coast Drive, at the very end of it, there's PCH. And you have a sign that says Laguna Beach left, Newport Beach right. Politically, that's about right. Every time I see that sign, I'm like, yep, that's right. And the guy who was the mayor for Laguna Beach in 20, while I was mayor of Newport Beach in 20, was Bob Whalen. Bob and I do not share the same political party. I love Bob. He and I get along really well. Same is true over in Costa Mesa. His name's John Stevens. John and I get along really well. And it's funny because he'll do some things in Costa Mesa that I'd probably get recalled for over in Newport Beach. But the beauty of it is we have a really solid working relationship. And that working relationship led to our having a joint homeless shelter that we signed in 2020 in a way that I don't think other cities had done before us and really haven't done as well after us. And that shelter has been working out really well for us. And it's a testament to the trust and relationship between elected officials who, again, probably aren't voting for the same people for president or U.S. Senate or governor, but they are making sure that their residents are better served by having those relationships. When you're looking around and trying to figure out what the right approach is in your city, you just take the right approach. But again, it's hard because when you're looking at a budget, for example, and our budget here in Newport Beach is enormous. It's our general fund budget's over $260 million at this point. All of our funds combined are around $400 million. So you have to be a really good steward of taxpayer dollars. But when you think of a balanced budget, because a budget is really just your priorities set over time, when you think of a balanced budget, you can't just be thinking of, do our revenues meet our expenditures? You have to also be thinking, do our investments right now make sure that a future city council is going to have the ability to make good decisions so that I'm not making a decision right now that forces them into bad decisions? And so there are so many opportunities to enrich yourself, put your name out in lights, do all these things that might feel good in the moment, but they're bad long-term for the city. And so I've been really fortunate. It's a blessing for me to have come after a lot of people who had served before me. And I'd like to be that blessing for people who are serving after me.
You're listening to It's All Good Newport Beach podcast. We're with Mayor Will O'Neill. For more information, feel free to visit the website of newportbeachca.gov. Will, I don't know if you're at liberty to even share this. There's a formula or secret sauce to it. Is how do you navigate the differences within each city, culturally, not just culturally, political bent? Is there a system, a way to make it prosperous for all?
No.
Okay.
It does help to have a core set of values before you get into council, because by the time you're on council and making decisions, having a core value system makes the decisions a lot easier. The hardest part, frankly, at that point is just all the reading materials. So on a Thursday afternoon before a Tuesday city council meeting, you're going to get a city council packet of information that can be anywhere between 200 and 1200 pages. And so you're going to need to digest that information, ask questions, try to figure out where you fall on an issue, listen to public comment, and then ultimately make your vote. And so there are a lot of times where really the most important thing is just be out in the community, listening to people, talking to them. And of course, making sure that people know that you are spending that time, because that faith in institutions really matters, especially at the local level. And one of the funny things about having every city be unique and local is I'm still learning about history between some people that sometimes you say, oh, that explains that why that person dislikes the other person, or that explains why we can't put those two people on a commission together, because ultimately it's about making good public policy choices. But look, there's a lot of politics at play as well. And look, the challenge of an elected system like ours is that we elect people who are really good at getting elected. That's not necessarily that we're electing the best people for the position. And we probably see that play out in Congress quite a bit, but their approval ratings a lot lower than Newport Beach City Council's approval ratings. But that's the issue, is you just need to be a part of the community. And I'm serving right now with six other council members that are just fantastic. I really enjoy them. They all come from totally different backgrounds. We've got a chef who runs multiple restaurants. The mayor pro tem, who will probably be mayor next year, his name is Joe Stapleton. He's Mr. Newport. He's been on the finance committee, the harbor commission, he's been on 17 boards that all give back. He helped start the Distinguished Citizens Program, which is a young professionals group about civics that has fired people up to want to serve in this community. So I've got four other, they're great. I really love serving with these people because they all bring different experiences, perspectives, and lives. Their lives just enrich the ability for us to be out there in the community serving. And no, there's no secret sauce. If there was a secret sauce, I wouldn't be on council, frankly.
Really? What? Have you seen that from other cities? That's, oh, for lack of a word, it's just love and respect.
I've seen it work when people are running for council and their identity is apart from the title that they earn. So one of the funny things about elected office is at city council, when you are elected, you get the title honorable right away. So technically mayor, yes, 100%, I am now the mayor. So that would be what you'd put in front of my name. But the proper title would actually be Honorable Will O'Neill. And I've always said, okay, so you win the title, but you have to earn it too. And there are a lot of people who don't go out of their way to earn that title. And so you've really got to understand like why you're doing it. So my identity exists outside of being mayor. I love being mayor. That's not the first title that I would ever put on my obituary. My first title would be found within my church, within my family. Husband and father mean a lot more to me than mayor. And so when I have seen the people who've gone in and served cities really well, people that I would like to emulate, people who have mentored me, it is when people know who they are and ground themselves in something other than a political title, because political titles come and go, but you are who you are, and that's more important sometimes. But the reason that's important, though, is because if you come into it with that servant leader mentality, that you are there for a limited amount of time and you would like to see some accomplishments that are not your legacy, they are the legacy of the cities, then you're going to go about it in a very different way than if you want to make sure that your name is located all over the place. And look, people didn't know who I was before 2020. I was on city council for 3 years. And yes, there were some insiders who knew who city council members were, but the vast majority of people could name five U.S. senators that don't represent them, that don't represent their state, before they could name five people on their city council. A lot of that changed in 2020 when people realized how important it was to have local leadership. And when I was mayor during that year and we faced so many trials and tribulations, I think Newport handled it really well. I'm not saying I handled it. I'm saying the city handled it well, because we had an amazing team here in the city. And then we also had a lot of residents who stepped up in amazing ways. So because of that, just being the kind of the figurehead of a response that people generally think we did really well on, now people know who I am. But that's not why I ran in the first place. It's not why my wife said yes when I said I was thinking about running. So that's, but it allows you, though, at that point to really make sure you're making those policy pushes that facilitate people's abilities to go interact with one another, feel safe in their community, and just have a generally positive, high quality of life in their city.
Will, what would you like to share with our audience today on Newport Beach that we may not have talked about?
So building off of what I just said, back in 2020, when I first became mayor, one of the things I tried really hard to do was to recognize people doing great things in the community. So I actually called it the Year of the Volunteer. A lot of things happened in 2020 that derailed that effort. And so coming back around into 2024 as my second term as mayor, I've taken a little bit more of a mature approach to that because I've seen for the last 4 years just all the ways people have stepped up. And so there's this kind of famous Mr. Rogers quote, actually, which is, by the way, I mentor high school students over at Newport Harbor High School, and I mentioned Mr. Rogers. They had no idea who he was, and I felt very old at that moment. But anyway, he was asked one time, "You're positive all the time. Like, how do you deal with hard things?" And he said, "When my mom and I used to watch the news when I was a kid and see really difficult moments, she would always tell people to look for the helpers, look for people who are running to help." We have so many of those here in the city of Newport Beach, and so we're recognizing a lot of them. Actually, when I became mayor in December this past year, instead of making it about me, we actually brought in Mario Morovic, amazing entrepreneur here locally, did some incredible things during 2020. And we hadn't given someone a key to the city in over a decade. And so we gave Mario a surprise key to the city. He was trying to figure out why his family was in the audience. He just figured that they just liked me. But they were there for him. We always have a very large event called the Mayor's Dinner, where I do a State of the City address. This year, we had over 500 people in a ballroom over at Bay, the newly renovated Marriott over in Fashion Island. It was beautiful. It was a great event. And at the end of the event, I surprised the Ben Carlson Foundation with another key to the city. And those are the only two keys to the city I'm going to be giving away this year, as to an individual and to a group. And this year, on July 6, 2024, is going to be 10 years since we lost Ben Carlson, our Newport Beach lifeguard, the only lifeguard we've ever lost in duty. And Ben saved a man's life that day, but gave his own. He was a hero. And so the Ben Carlson Foundation was started by his family and friends, and they have done amazing things in water safety and scholarship and a lot of other issues. And they've actually expanded their operation to go out into other countries like Mexico and Costa Rica and whatnot to teach them how we handle lifeguarding and provide them with equipment that's right up there with the best we have here too. And there are literally people alive today because of the equipment and training that the Ben Carlson Foundation has done. And so what I'm leaving you with today is and we recognize the helpers with certificates and proclamations at our city council meetings. I've done it at speeches that I've given. It is an opportunity to not just recognize people doing amazing things inside of our community, but it's hopefully an inspiration to others to step up and be helpers too. And so what I'd like to leave folks with today is you always, every day, every single moment, you have the ability to help someone in small ways. And sometimes you step up into really big ways, but you can always be a helper. And by doing that, you create a better community for you and your family.
Will, it's been a real pleasure and an honor to have you on the show today. Thank you. I hope you come back again.
Oh, this was fantastic. And I really appreciate it. I love talking about our city.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Will. You've been listening to the It's All Good Newport Beach podcast. Our guest today has been Will O'Neill, mayor of Newport Beach, California, and also a litigation partner with the Costa Mesa firm of Sherrigan.
Yep, Ross, Wolcott, Tynert, and Prout.
And for more information, feel free to visit the Newport Beach City website at newportbeachca.gov. Again, that's newportbeachca.gov. Our audio engineer is Stephen Blanton, and our chief engineer, Mark Lawrence. Thanks for listening, and hope to hear and see from you next time. Thank you very much.